Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
White privilege is just an acknowledgement that our world is uneven. We live in a country that's unequal.
All human beings share solidarity. All of us are made in God's image equally and therefore worthy of dignity. We're all ruined and rebellious against God and therefore calls us solidarity and sin. And we all need the same Savior.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
How's about we think on these things? This is Wretched Radio. Don't know exactly what your kitchen conference center looks like and the contents of the conversations therein, but I've got a pretty good inkling. No, I'm not a prophet who can predict the future. That office, no, we don't get to do that anymore. But I speculate that your home might, in some degrees, be like our home, where we can get caught up in conversations about contemporary issues. The stuff that is making your head go kaboom. Not the least of which these days would be the issue of VAC asterisk INES. Why do I spell that? Because, hey, we could be canceled from a platform if we even talk about this subject. That'll make your head explode right there. And yet, you and I have been placed here sovereignly by God at this time. Perhaps your kitchen is consumed with nothing but all of the threatening things that we perceive, real or otherwise, to varying degrees. It doesn't take a rocket surgeon to figure out the times have changed. This is a different country, and we now have to figure out how to live here. What is my mindset so that I don't go absolutely bonkers? How do I think so that I don't think everybody that I see on the street is a communist or worse? Jimmy, is there anything worse than being a communist? Well, you get the point anyway. You might be struggling with this, that you're kind of gurgling up on the inside. And it's spilling over, and your conversations cannot contain themselves to spiritual things. They are being preoccupied by temporal things. And please make no mistake about it. These issues are big deals. I get that. There are so many Christians right now who are suddenly wrestling with the VAC asterisk INES issue because they might be MAND asterisk TED. What am I going to do? I'm trying to prepare some thoughts on that subject to potentially share next week to walk through that situation biblically because let's be honest, this one's pressing. And might I just add this? If you're feeling that pressure, perhaps from an employer or from a government, does this perhaps give us a little bit of a perspective, understanding, and potentially some empathy for first century Jews who were looking for the wrong Messiah? They were squeezed way more than we currently are. The Romans were atrocious, and they were underneath their boot or sandal or whatever it was that they wore on their feet. They felt the pressure of a government that was opposed to them, that was trying to rob them of their money, of their freedoms, of any sort of rights, if they even used those terms back then. They felt that. And so what did it cause them to do? Call out for it. We need somebody to rescue us from this malaise. We need a Messiah who can deliver us from an oppressive government. Can we now perhaps understand how they fell into that ditch, at least to a degree? So how do we stay out of that ditch? How do we alter our conversations? I would like to make two suggestions. Number one, if you are feeling the weight of the world currently bearing down on you and you're getting sour in any degree, or you're just tired of the same conversations. You're just tired of them. Maybe it's time to start focusing on something else more. Now, please note, I didn't say without any consideration for our current issues. I just said, I think there's something we could be focusing on more. And I wonder if you could use this breath of fresh air delivered from Pastor Alistair Begg. Looks like he was speaking at a conference someplace. And I heard this, and it was one of those presentations of the gospel that was not only fresh, but it was refreshing. Oh, thank you. I needed to be reminded of that, the goodness of God's grace shown through his son. This is one of those examples of a sermon and a preacher who didn't just say, isn't the gospel gospelicious? He actually showed it. Maybe you need this too.
Without the preaching of the cross, without preaching the cross to ourselves all day and every day, we will very, very quickly revert to faith plus works as the ground of our salvation. So that to go to the old Fort Lauderdale question, if you were to die tonight and you were getting entry into heaven, what would you say? If you answer that, and if I answer it in the first person, we've immediately gone wrong. because I believed, because I have faith, because I am this, because I am continuing. Loved ones, the only proper answer is in the third person, because he. Think about the thief on the cross. And what an immense, I can't wait to find that fellow one day to ask him, how did that shake out for you? Because you were cussing the guy out with your friend. You've never been in a Bible study. You never got baptized. You didn't know a thing about church membership. And yet you made it. You made it. How did you make it? That's what the angel must have said, you know, like, what are you doing here? Well, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Well, because I don't know. Well, you know, excuse me, let me get my supervisor. They go get the supervisor in here. So, wait, just a few questions for you. First of all, Are you clear on the doctrine of justification by faith? The guy said, I never heard of it in my life. And what about, let's just go to the doctrine of Scripture immediately. This guy's just staring. And eventually in frustration, he says, on what basis are you here? And he said, the man on the middle cross said, I can come. Now, that is the only answer. That is the only answer. And if I don't preach the gospel to myself all day and every day, then I will find myself beginning to trust myself, trust my experience, which is part of my fallenness as a man. If I take my eyes off the cross, I can then give only lip service to its efficacy, while at the same time living as if my salvation depends upon me. And as soon as you go there, it will lead you either to abject despair or a horrible kind of arrogance. And it is only the cross of Christ that deals both with the dreadful depths of despair and the pretentious arrogance of the pride of man that says, you know, I can figure this out and I'm doing wonderfully well. No, because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free for God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. That's why Luther says most of your Christian life is outside of you in this sense. That we know that we're not saved by good works. We're not saved as a result of our professions, but we're saved as a result of what Christ has achieved.
Because he said, you can come, criminal. You can walk because of what he did. Maybe, just maybe, you and I are being challenged to refocus our daily considerations, to move away from being consumed by the carking cares of this world, to contemplating the cross, because the man on the middle one said, "You can come." And perhaps that will make us a bit naive. Yeah. I think there's worse consequences, frankly. Shouldn't we be pondering this all day, every day? Is it possible that one of the things that God is doing in this current pressing is to redirect our thoughts, maybe just maybe, in all of this, as we see the sinful behavior of so many people, the wicked attitudes, that we realize our own and that we need to daily repent to our Lord for not focusing on Him more than we focus on VACINESs. But there's a second way that your conversations can change. Are you sure you're ready to hear it? Next on Wretched Radio.
Thanks for being here today on Wretched Radio. And listen, have you checked out the Wretched website yet? If not, you're really missing out on some amazing and valuable content at wretched.org. You'll find full and complete Wretched TV and radio episodes. Also, the Wretched store with nearly 50 helpful resources like Drive-By Biblical Counseling 3, Jesus Unmasked, 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide, and more. And you're also going to find one of my favorite features, the Wretched Library. It's full of teaching on a ton of topics ranging from abortion and pneumatology to evangelism and marriage. And you can also visit the donate page. That's where you'll find all the information you'll ever need on becoming a gospel partner. Without your support, we wouldn't be able to do what we're privileged to do here every day at Wretched. So if you're not already a gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one? We can't do any of this without you. Check all these features out right now at wretched.org. That's wretched.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Be careful. Be very, very careful, my cold-hearted conservative friend, because this just might melt your heart. If you are a supporter of preborn.org/wretched, providing ultrasounds, ultrasound machines, and sonograms, careful, this might just melt your heart.
That sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
You're giving love when you support Preborn, because a mommy sees a baby in the womb courtesy of an ultrasound machine and 80% of the time keeps the baby. $28 an ultrasound, or perhaps you might be of the means to provide an actual ultrasound machine if you can. Oh, they need them, and they'll put them to work, and it'll show some love. Preborn.org/wretched.
Did you realize that everything seems to have its own day to celebrate it? August, in particular, has National Creamsicle Day, National Relaxation Day. And let's not forget about the month-long celebrations for National Catfish Month, National Goat Cheese Month, and the one I just deemed most important above all, International Gospel Partners Month. That's right. Celebrate with us, because while I'm obviously joking about International Gospel Partners Month, I am not joking about our reliance on you. Wretched reliance on the kindness and generosity of our gospel partners to reach millions all over the world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And thanks to you, Wretched Radio is among the top 5% of all podcasts across all platforms. Without you, that's not possible. So would you please prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner today? And what better time to do it than right now during International Gospel Partners Month? Just visit wretched.org/donate or text the word wretched to the number 44321.
Important dates in Christian history. 70 AD. Titus destroys Jerusalem and the temple. The separation between Christianity and Judaism deepens, and Christians spread throughout the Roman Empire, spreading the gospel as they go. God uses tragedy to forward His great commission.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Could this be the reason you don't have that joy down in your heart? This is Wretched Radio. Are you feeling it? Are you reading your feed and feeling the pressure that a world is changing, that foundations are crumbling, and that people who are in power are beginning to coerce and, dare I say, oppress both corporately and governmentally? Feeling it? How are you responding to it? If a lot of burbling comes out, that your conversations tend to get consumed by them. Please note, those conversations are important. We've got to figure things out. We've got to ponder biblically, how do we respond and live in our world? But if this squeezing is not producing any joy that comes out, any ethereal thinking, maybe, just maybe, God is using these things to turn our eyes upon Jesus and look long in his wonderful face. Maybe that's what he's trying to do in this. Because if you're getting squeezed and nothing but battery acid is coming out, that's because that's all that's in your battery. And he wants joy to come out, even in persecution. You say, got a Bible verse for that? I say, yeah, James 1, count it all joy, brethren, when you are persecuted. What? Count it all joy. How do I do that? One, focus more on Christ than on COVID. Yep, I said it. Focus more on Jesus than governmental creep. And certainly focus on the Savior more than self, because it's the most delightful ponderance we can have. I'm not suggesting we get away from thinking through and talking about. Of course we do that. I'm talking about being consumed. Number two, how is it that my life can change in such a way that my heart changes, so that even as I see what used to be pretty cool as pretty crummy now, I'm not so bleak, and I'm not so downtrodden, and I'm not fearful and worried about the future. Here it comes. Are you sure you're ready to hear it? Reorient your life. Reorient your life. This has nothing to do with the Far East. This has everything to do with your local church. If you are struggling in this day and age, if you are also one of those, and I know there are many, who struggle with assurance, struggle with the idea that they're forgiven even as they go about the business of sinning and warring against it, if your heart is troubled in any of those regards, I would like to plead with you to join a local church, the best one you can find, and reorient your life to it. It's amazing how we have relegated church to this sort of ancillary task that we do on the weekends. It used to be, for a number of reasons, fair enough, there wasn't a whole lot of stuff to do. And so, living in a time when you had a church, you went to the church because that's all you had to do. Fair enough. But there was also an understanding of that's the best place for us to be. That's where I should be. That's where I thrive. And if you're not a member and serving in a local church, I think that you're going to continue to struggle. What is your structure for putting your day together? How do you think it through? Most likely, as you go about the business of trying to put a framework around, okay, what guides me through my day and through my life? I wonder if you and I think much about the local church, but what if the local church was in the center of that framework? And that as I think about, okay, what am I supposed to be doing? How much free time am I supposed to have? How am I supposed to use my free time? The answer would be the local church, the local church, the local church. And you start reorienting your life toward that. Maybe, just maybe, now's the time for us to do that. To not just see church as the thing that we do on Sunday when we see some nice folks. Maybe on occasion go out to breakfast with them if you can get a seat after church in a breakfast place. But to be there more. And to serve there more regularly. And to be a part of it. And to be held accountable to. And to be served. And to serve others. And when I think about what is it that I could be doing this weekend for entertainment and amusement, our minds tend to drift to Netflix. Do people still go to movies? I don't know. Do people go to movies? I think that maybe it's a movie. It's a hobby. Please note, I'm not saying eliminate all of those things, but how's about that event that's going on Saturday night at your church? How's about going to those things? Have you not been putting the church to which you're a member in the bullseye of your daily activities? I would suggest to you, if you do that increasingly, your heart's going to change. I'm telling you, it's going to change. The best way to apply the means of growth is through the context of your local church. Yep, you do it in your home. Yep, if you work in a ministry, do it there. Best place, local church, where you're sitting under authority, where you know your place. You're not ruling the world. You are under authority, and you are learning about Jesus in that context. Hallway conversation surrounded by believers, not bad news. Listening to the chatter of Christians, not Fox News talk show hosts. If your heart is weary, and if you're struggling with assurance, in other words, you are troubled in any way, shape, or form, take the advice of Jesus in John 14:1. Now, not advice. He commanded you. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in me. In other words, focus on me. And the best way to do that is the context of your local church. Why? Because that's what your local church should be doing. I know you might be struggling to find such a place. Got it. Totally understood. But God's not unaware. And while you certainly have the opportunity to start a church, and there are ways to go about doing that if you don't have a sound local church near you. But God knows that you don't. Find one that's at least orthodox. You're going to probably have some doctrinal distinctives that you're not nuts about. Totally get it. I thoroughly understand. Another option, of course, is moving. And you say, that's just ridiculous. I'm supposed to put my house up for sale so I could move to a local church? Maybe. Ordered it? Of course not. Who could do such a thing? But the central nature of the local church, if that is not in the bullseye for you, you got to do what it takes to get it there. So find the best local church you can. Don't go in it to be a revolutionary. Sure, you can share your thoughts, but don't cause trouble for a pastor and the elders. You might even want to meet with them to say, here's my situation. I know a lot of good Baptists who go to a Presbyterian church and vice versa. Why? Because it's the best church you can. So, my fellow believers, baptism brother, sister, don't go to the Presbyterian church to help them understand that paedo-baptism isn't biblical. Don't do that. That's not what you want to be about. You're just going to have to live with it and participate in the services of the church, not the ordinances, of course, in that instance. And vice versa. If you're a Presbyterian, don't go to a Baptist church trying to persuade them to start sprinkling their babies. Don't do it. Don't be a rabble-rouser. Find the best one. Join it. This might be a good example for you. Let's just say there's a possibility that you have not been baptized yet. Here's what's going to happen to you if you go to a good local church. They're going to say, have you been baptized? And you're going to say, no, haven't gotten to it yet. And they're going to say, you're going to. In fact, they might even say, to be a member of this church, you gotta. Because that's the first commandment of our Savior upon salvation. Get baptized. You don't get baptized to get saved, but you get baptized because you are saved. That is the first command of our King. You need to submit to that and get baptized as a part of being a member of this church. Well, look at what just happened to you. You were just brought into compliance with what Jesus wants from you, to get baptized as a public testimony that you are His and He is yours. And I could go on and on and on with the fruits and the benefits of being a member, a serving member of a local church. Please, would you wrestle with this? And let us all take a look at our participatory level in our local church and maybe see a correlation between our consternation and our church attendance and make some adjustments, so that we can have joy, 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 joy down in our hearts. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. All right, so we start today with a story from Not the Bee, where a video tweet was shared of a woman, or maybe it was a man. At this point, I'm not real sure. Let me just tell you the story. I learned a lot from this video, and I would have shared it with you had it not been from the language, but what I did learn is that not only can people change their gender on a whim, but apparently now it changes itself without your permission. That's a thing now, and there's even a term for it, which was created by the highly regarded intellectuals of the internet. It's called Veloxigender. The proper definition provided by the, let's say, Center for Gender Research and other sciencey things, they say that it's a form of being gender fluid where a person's gender changes so rapidly that they can't even specify what gender they are at any given time. That has got to definitely be a hard thing to live with. I mean, look, there are 8,000 genders. Oh, what a life to live. Well, an interesting story from Virginia. A church has filed a lawsuit against its home county, alleging that the officials from that county told the congregation that it must obtain a liquor license in order to gather on its own property. The church apparently had a unique arrangement with the local zoning board where the church property was classified as an agritourism facility as the church grew fruit trees on its property. And from those fruit trees, as a form of an outreach, the congregation made non-alcoholic apple cider that it sold to the public. The zoning board approved the church being deemed an agritourism facility, but said the church would need to obtain a liquor license before it could meet. Even though the church produced only non-alcoholic cider, a liquor license was being required. I'm not real sure about the ins and outs here. It seems pretty cut and dry to me, but this isn't a common sense world we happen to be living in. Well, Eastland, Texas became the 30th city in the state of Texas to declare itself as a sanctuary city for the unborn. That happened yesterday when commissioners unanimously passed an ordinance banning abortion. As the ordinance reads, women seeking an abortion will not face penalty, but those who profit from taking the life of a child will be held accountable, including the abortion doctor. Well, according to International Christian Concern, it has been collaborating with Free North Korea Radio, which is located in South Korea, where for 2 hours each day they share the gospel to areas of North Korea. Officials in North Korea became aware of the broadcasts and consider them to be a threat. One anonymous North Korean did say that a large number of North Koreans have been contemplating rising up against the communist government as they learn just how much of their life has been lost. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. Leviticus is the guidebook for the priests and Levites as they attend to their duties in the temple. In Leviticus, we learn that God is holy, sin is serious, and that God requires a sacrifice for atonement. Thankfully, we have complete atonement in the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If Paul Washer is right, and frankly he always is, then prepare to be... wrong. This is a Wretched Radio. Fresh video posted by Heartcry Ministries. Paul Washer sitting on a panel responding to the questions asked by the audience when this Lulu was raised.
What do you think the greatest threat is to the church in our generation?
How would you answer that question? Five men sat silent on the panel for about 3 seconds when Paul Washer, rather laconically, rather just sitting with his legs crossed, like he's waiting to just have a lemonade on the front porch, very casually responded to it. Before we share Paul Washer's biggest threat concern for the church in our day and age, what would you say? There's a long list of threats, isn't there? Critical race theory. There's a threat. And by the way, if I could just do one quick aside on that, I've heard from a lot of people who actually go to David Platt's church when we were discussing this issue. We did it a couple of times within the last week. And I simply mentioned that I fear what's happening in their church as it appears to be getting torn asunder. It's because of the introduction of CRT in some way, shape, or form. This is the effect that it has. It's going to look different in a lot of different churches. It could even manifest itself in a different issue. But CRT is the battery acid that is just wrecking so many churches. And a lot of people from the church said, hey, you don't know what's going on here. And that's probably more right than wrong. I'm aware of what the divisive issue is right now. I am aware of that. But I don't know all of the details, which is why I didn't dive deep into the issue of a local church, because that's just none of my beeswax. I simply wanted to share a nationally distributed story of a perspective of what I believe CRT will do to your church. I wasn't weighing in on the issue. And when I called David Platt a brother, which I stand by, I wasn't saying that he's right and the people who are not happy with him right now are wrong. I wasn't commenting on any of that. I was simply trying to make the point, CRT, it's a threat to your church. What else is a threat to the local church? How's about the pandemic? All of the issues, to mask, not to mask, to meet, not to meet. Now, vaccine, it's mandated. Do you have to? What should we do? And I'm telling you, these issues are tugging the church apart because people have different views on these things. There's so many ingredients in the pot. You have so many people that put a focus on this versus that, and you are going to come up with an awful lot of acrimony because of these issues, which is precisely what they are designed to do, cause acrimony and division and separation. For what purposes? I don't know. You can watch Fox News for that. I don't have any speculations. I have some ideas, but they're just that. These issues divide. What do you believe is the biggest threat to the church today? Liberalism. It's liberal. It's a drift. I wouldn't argue with you that there isn't a liberal drift. There's always a liberal drift. That's just the nature of us. We drift leftward unless we are pulling hard to the right. You pull hard to the right, you'll at least stay straight, pretty much. You don't, you're going to go crooked to the left really fast. And perhaps you think that liberalism is the biggest threat to the church. Maybe you think it's these wonky movements that are taking place. These are the people who are doing the wonky, wacky, fall down tire, fire tunnels, all of that. Is that a threat to the church? Yeah. Is that the biggest threat to the church? Friel! Push the button and tell us what Washer said. Okay, you don't have to yell at me.
It's pastors.
There you go. The biggest threat to the church in our day and age, it's pastors. Yeah, the audience had the same response I did.
Honestly, the pastors. Anywhere, God has given three offices, I believe, to the church.
Interesting.
Evangelist, pastor, and teacher.
Hold the phone, Henrietta. May I ask you a question? Do you agree with that? Pastor, teacher, you might say deacon, elder. There's definitely a difference, and there's implications of each one of those terms. But would you have said office of evangelist? Most of us, I think, would agree that there should be people with the gifting of evangelism, probably in most, if not every, church. An office? Let's just say you disagree with Paul on that, that it's not an office, it's just a spiritual gift for the edification of the church. Regardless, might I take this opportunity to ask you, does your church focus on evangelism? Now, let's just say the debate is at this level. It's an office, that the gift of evangelism, that somebody's an evangelist, and there's an office for it in your church. Now, you maybe disagree with it, but doesn't it indicate that, wow, evangelism inside of the church is a big deal? Is it in your church? By comparison, how much focus is there on winning the lost outside of your church doors versus, brace yourself, the nursery? The children's programs. Come on, we got to take care of the kids. I didn't say we don't have to take care of the kids. I'm simply asking, how much emphasis do we place on evangelism by comparison? It's a thought worth pondering back to Paul Washer.
Wherever you see a weak church, you see these weak men. Either they're non-existent, they're unbiblical, or they're unconverted.
Well, well, well. The pastors that are in the bullseye of Paul Washer's concern, they're non-existent. I presume that means they just don't have a pastor. Or they just aren't even remotely qualified because they're unbiblical or unconverted. I don't think Paul is wrong. I know that you could argue forcefully that the bar doesn't need to be set that high for the office of pastor and church. As long as the guy loves Jesus, that's enough. No, it's not. Never has been. It's never a creedal statement. Hey, do you at least acknowledge Jesus as Lord? Okay, good, good, good. Never mind anything else. Never mind the fruit of your life that doesn't indicate repentance. Never mind the fact that you don't believe in the Trinity rightly, or the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, or the role of Scripture in the believer's life. Do you like Jesus? Okay, good. You can be pastor. That's ridiculous. Never been that way, and yet that's exactly what we have today. I can't tell you how many websites I go to when I look for pastors and their qualifications. You never get them. They don't list them because they don't have them. We allow pulpits to be filled. There's nothing any of us can really do about this now, but they're pulpits that are filled with men who just decide, I'm going to start up a church. Let's give it a go, and I'm going to be the man. And it's dominated the evangelical landscape, and we have pulpits filled with unbiblical men who put on such a show. Such a performance, so much thought put into what's cool and contemporary. And isn't it funny? It's pretty much always the 80s, which kind of tells you the age of these guys. The biggest problem in the church, according to Paul Washer, unconverted, unbiblical pastors.
And all this talk about the judgment on our country, because of its immoralities and everything else. Never forget, judgment always begins with the household of God.
That means if this nation is being judged, and I think you got a pretty good case for that, it starts with the church, that we judge ourselves. What adjustments do we need to make? What repenting do we need to make? What is it that God wants to do in the churches? And I would like to suggest to you, it could be that he is looking to purify. Is he looking to glean different churches? Yeah, we're seeing that happening. Mercifully, many of them are shutting down. And I got to tell you, that ain't necessarily a bad thing.
I am astounded at the lack of the fear of the Lord.
That is also an interesting comment in the context of the biggest threat to the church, a lack of fear of the Lord. What does that have to do with unconverted and unbiblical pastors? They're unbiblical because they don't have a fear of the Lord. I would also like to suggest to you that when you see a high-profile tumble, some preacher that maybe you liked who just biffs it and is disqualified, my opinion, it's almost certain it is because if you checked the tank marked fear of the Lord, it's running on empty or awfully close. And that is, according to Paul Washer, the biggest threat to the church in America. So, what was your answer? And who was right? Paul Washer, we'll see if he can continue to make his case next on Wretched Radio. Another amazing story from Eastern Europe, Tomorrow Clubs.
One of the kids that came, I was a 12-year-old girl, you know, her parents were both alcoholics. The leader said, well, you know, why don't you invite your mother to come? She started coming, and at first it was really just to get gifts for her younger kids who had been taken away from her. But, you know, she'd come and she'd hear little pieces of the gospel, and she'd feel the love of the leaders that were there. She started drinking a little bit less and started coming to the church, and then the church started trying to help them, and they'd go to visit the home, and the father, I mean, he was just a hopeless alcoholic who really couldn't even leave the house. Believe it or not, even the father stopped drinking, and now the whole family has come to the Lord. Now this family operates the Tomorrow Club.
If you'd like to hear more stories like that, and who of us wouldn't, please support your own Tomorrow Club. $30 a month, 30 disciples in Eastern Europe. Visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Do you sometimes feel like your personal prayer time is lacking? Well, honestly, you're not alone. It's something that happens to all of us, probably more often than we care to admit. But if you want to transform and bring richness to your devotion times, then take a look at Face to Face by Dr. Kenneth Boa. Dr. Boa's personalized adaptations of Scripture turns the Bible, God's Word, into prayers that will bring you face to face and heart to heart with God. By connecting Bible reading with personal prayer, you'll learn to approach both in a new way and rediscover the Bible as your most treasured prayer book. We believe in this book's ability to guide you into prayers that are faith-filled and powerful so much that we've added it to the Wretched Store. So grab your copy of Face to Face, Praying the Scriptures for Intimate Worship by Dr. Kenneth Boa by visiting wretched.org/pray and watch your prayer life be enriched. That's wretched.org/pray.
Typical radio commercials will have one big shebang, the opening line. Do we have your attention now? This particular commercial has eight. Have we got your attention now? MediShare, affordable biblical health sharing, will save the average family $500 per month. Second, MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to typical health insurance. Double, that's times two if you weren't homeschooled. A massive network of providers to choose from. MediShare is the most trusted name in healthcare sharing. They've been around for 25 years. $4 billion in healthcare bills have been shared. If you call them now, you will save on the joining fee. They're going to erase it. That's another $170. This is a limited time offer, which means make it snappy. Call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE. Did I mention 844-34-BIBLE to get your MediShare quote in under 2 minutes?
Hermeneutics. The Bible is not a manual. While it should be read literally, the books fit into a variety of genres, including narrative, poetry, prophecy, and epistle. How we understand and apply Scripture begins with identifying what genre we are reading. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I am astounded at the lack of the fear of the Lord.
Paul Washer has some concerns for the contemporary church. Top of the list, pastors. This is Wretched Radio. Don't know what you would put at the top of the list, but Paul Washer's biggest concern, the threat to contemporary Christianity and the Church of Jesus Christ, not of Latter-day Saints. are the pastors manning the pulpits or the pastors womanning the pulpits, because they are not converted, they're not biblical, and there is a root of a lack of fear of the Lord.
And the lack of biblical knowledge among those who would call themselves the ministers of Christ.
But they know culture. They know what's going on in the latest billboard chart top and trend so that we can have TikTok while we play a contemporary song on the stage because church is about being fun. Where was I just? I was just reading something last night. Yeah, that's right. I can read. And it was somebody was commenting. Oh, I know what it was. It was the documentary that was done on Hillsong. And the documentary didn't paint it in a, well, particularly pretty light. And this particular documentary, which was done by the BBC, was filmed over the course of 2 years. They spent 2 years traveling around to different Hillsong churches. And I was really, really not shocked at what they discovered. First of all, they interviewed the youth pastor from Hillsong in London. And I thought to myself, I wonder if that's the same guy that I ran into on the street once. This goes back years. We were doing Way of the Master season, whatever it was. We were in downtown London, and there were some people out in the streets professing to be Christians. And I said, well, who are you? And they said, we're Hillsong. Oh, cool. Then you can tell me what the gospel is. Couldn't do it. That was the youth pastor. He was interviewed for this particular BBC documentary. And this is what he said. We're the ones that God has empowered. We're the ones God is using. Well, then, that's pretty judgmental. If you do want to, listen to this, experience Jesus, we know how you can. You bet. Go to a whoop-de-doo fest. We put them on all the time. They rock, and I mean literally. That's what they get you into an experience where you don't learn nothing about him. And this guy in this video, because I saw a clip of it to boot, he began it by saying, I'm in the full Hillsong starter pack. I've got the fedora. I've got the leather. I've got the boots and the skinnies, meaning the skinny jeans, because he's Pastor Cool. And he's bringing people into experience with Jesus. This is one of the guys Paul Washer is talking about. But it continued. By the way, he took his church, the church leaders, took his young church leaders to a tattoo parlor to get matching 70x7 tattoos, whatever that is. The senior pastor said this, I always thought the church should be enjoyed. There it is. There it is. Thought church should be enjoyed. Where'd you get that idea? It's not in the Bible. Church is a joyful thing for believers. But we don't do church for our pleasure. We do it for God's glory so that he is pleased. That's why we do church. This documentary and just these few quotes from this article reveals the men that Paul Washer is describing.
I mean, the atrocities that have happened in America in evangelicalism, just in the pulpit itself, the tomfoolery, the lack of reverence. If you have a church that's not a praying church, it's because you have non-praying elders. The church is not biblical, it's because you have non-biblical elders. It always goes back to, so when I look at the nation, I'm not blaming some party or professors or this or that. I'm looking at myself as a minister of Christ. And that's a very solemn, that's why someone shouldn't enter into the ministry very lightly.
But boy, these days the floodgates are open and they just go pouring in because they want to be the center of attention. And they think Jesus needs their help. And so they put on a show. And according to Paul Washer, those types, that's not the only manifestation of unbiblical and unconverted pastors, but that is most certainly a predominant manifestation of what he is describing.
And, you know, we could say all kinds of other things, but it all does come back to that. We could say liberalism, which is true. we could say even a greater, more dangerous thing that's a secret, hidden liberalism is when men affirm that the Bible is inerrant, but their whole ministry is nothing but pragmatism. All you young men need to understand something. All this talk about Reformation the last 15 years, the reformers didn't want to be reformers. They just want to be biblical, number one. Number two, you're not reformed simply because you've adopted an academic view of some sort of sovereign grace soteriology. You're following in the spirit of the reformers because you're trying to take every aspect of your thought, your doctrine, your disposition, your life, your family, your church, and submitting it to what is written.
Now, let me ask you a question. Let's start outside of your church. Consider the typical pastor today. Just by the way that they present themselves, whether it's inside or outside of the church, because frankly, there's no difference, where you see men who are pastors who you would never guess it. You would guess that they wrote software, but you would never say, you know, that man, he looks earnest. He looks somber. He looks dignified. He looks like he has joy. He looks like he is mature. He looks like he is about something important. Does that look like the typical guy that we see these days that's in pastoral ministry? Let me ask you a question. And Pastor, I know this might get a little personal, but blame it on Paul Washer. Does your life look characterized by dignity, an earnestness, and an understanding of the importance of the game that we're playing and that it is no game at all? I have to confess to you, when I see so many of these silly men and women, I'm just absolutely flabbergasted that they can be so frivolous because they're unaware of the suffering saints that they are supposed to be tending to. That has got to be the issue. And by the way, Jimmy, that's me making that beeping sound.
Okay.
That's me.
All right.
Well,
you like it?
No, I don't. I move my keyboard and see. Because I see you got the panics. What's making that beeping sound? Don't worry. It's just the host. Please do not worry. You are in good hands. This is the most professional Christian talk show on this station at this time.
Absolutely.
Paul Washer wondering if pastors don't need to understand the suffering of the saints more. That people are hurting. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, and it's an inclination that some of us tend to have, that when we see somebody struggling, we have a tendency to just not care. Let me see if this might be a test for all of us. How did you respond when you heard that Simone Biles was going to drop out because of emotional health? How did you respond to that? Did you maybe buy into one of the theories? Oh, she did it because, or she did it because of that. But may I ask, this young lady, could it be nefarious? Sure. But even if it is nefarious, what she did, and I don't believe it is, but even if it were nefarious, then that's bad too. And something about us should be our heart going out to people. And I just wonder if pastors are aware of how hurting people are, that their hearts aren't going out and they don't get sobered by it and start acting like adults and helping people and preaching as if people are thirsty and they need a drink of cool water. They don't need to hear a Bon Jovi remix. Do these pastors not have any of that inside of them because they're just not exposed to it, because they're so busy ginning up and manufacturing what they would call a church service? Do they not fear the Lord? Do they not realize the judgment that awaits them for every thought and word as a representative of Jesus Christ, because they have placed on themselves, or somebody placed on them, the mantle of elder? What do we do about this? I'm not sure that we can do much to fix the mess that's out there, but I would simply ask every pastor and each one of us as an elder and as a church member, when asked the question, what's the biggest threat to the church? Is it in any way I? Until tomorrow, go serve your King.